Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're going to continue our conversation with former Los Angeles Dodger general manager Fred Clair. And Fred, before we went to the commercial break, we were talking about the 1988 World Series championship team. And I know the word analytics seems new. It seems like it's still fresh in the world of baseball, but it's actually not. And if we point back to the three-team deal, you acquired a player by the name of Alfredo Griffin, who played shortstop. Wasn't great in the batter's box, batted something like 199, 198 for the season, but he was really, really important to this team defensively in the middle infield. I'm curious as to how much of a role analytics played for you during your time as general manager and your thoughts on that fine line between analytics and being a baseball mind in today's game.
That's a very good question, and I'll give you mentioned Alfredo, and I'll give you the example of how much scouting played more than analytics. At the general manager meetings in 1987 in Florida, I was having discussions with Sandy Alderson of Oakland, a good friend, great friend, and of course to be ultimately involved in this three-team trade. And Alfredo was one of the guys who I really wanted to be a part of this deal because we absolutely had to have a reliable shortstop. And so in 87th general manager meeting in Florida, Sandy and I, as we did quite often at meetings, went for a run in the late afternoon before dinner time, and we got lost. And when we came back, I was to meet our great scout, Reggie Otero, sorry. I was to meet our scout, Reggie, who was lived in Florida. And because I wanted to talk to him, he had signed Alfredo when Alfredo was a very young player for Cleveland. And so when we came in, Sandy and I, sweating like you can't believe, and here's the image of Reggie Otero standing there in a beautiful Florida light sport jacket, looking wonderful. And I said, Reggie, I'm so sorry that we got lost. He said, Fred, no problem. Reggie and I then met for dinner. And again, now you have, as a general manager, you're making the decision. I said, I explained what the potential trade with Reggie, what Alfredo I felt could mean to us, but we were going to have to give up a great pitcher, Bobby Welch. And I'll never forget Reggie's words. He said, Fred, I make that trade. And I mention that story because of the contribution of the scout. And scouts never get the contributions they deserve. Because when the 1988 World Series ended, Reggie Otero turned off his television, went to bed, and passed away that evening.
Wow.
Never had the chance to wake up and to see that championship after celebration. But two things. I always put a high, high value on scouts. That being said, I really was a strong advocate of information. And I hired, and there's information on the web. I didn't call attention to it, but I hired one of the first analytical people, Craig Wright, who now lives in Montana, Helena, Montana, who was really one of the first and kind of a protege of Bill James. So I was very much into information and relied greatly on Craig in the early years. And later I've been involved with a wonderful analytics company, Scoutables, started by Ari Kaplan, my partner in forming the company, and Ari was one of the forerunners. So there's never been a reason for a debate. Is it analytics versus scouting? That's the wrong approach. the approach you need to take is, where do you get the best information? And you have to rely on all information sources and then use all of it together to make ultimately the decisions you're going to make. So I'm a big, big believer in analytics, but I am a huge believer in scouting. Those are the two elements that are going to determine the course of your team.
I have to ask you about a couple of deals that were made with the Dodgers in the 90s. I remember being a kid and in the fall of 1990 being thrilled that Daryl Strawberry was going to be a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And again, this is just a couple of years removed from a World Series championship, a five-year deal worth roughly $20 million, if memory serves me right. Looked like it was a stellar deal at the time. I know it never panned out, but from a general manager standpoint, to grab a guy like Daryl Strawberry at that particular time, I'm curious as to how that came together and what your thought process was in acquiring a talent like Strawberry.
Well, Daryl's talent at that time, in that year, if you simply look at him and you evaluate him again from an analytics or statistical standpoint, you would rate Daryl. The record is there to speak for itself. One of the great young hitters, power hitters in the game. And at that same time, I had made a trade for Eric Davis. Now, here's Daryl Strawberry and Eric Davis in the prime of their careers, both coming from South Central Los Angeles. And in between them, for the center fielder, we placed in a signing that I made, as you know, Brett Butler. And I remember when this happened in the spring, I met with a well-known general manager, Joe Klein, later to be the president of the Atlantic League, longtime baseball man, great, highly respected. And he said, "Fred, I have to tell you something." He said, "When you signed Daryl and traded for Eric," he said, I said to the people around me, "They're going to fly a world championship banner in Los Angeles." And I really felt that we had the opportunity to do something significant. And it wasn't based on the fact that Daryl and Eric were from South Central L.A., a very difficult area, as we know, as history shows, in Los Angeles, and what they could mean to the Los Angeles community. I didn't make the trades for signing for that reason, but I really felt that we had given two young men the opportunity to be a huge part of Dodger history. And Jordan, as you know, and as history shows, that didn't work out anywhere near what I saw as the potential. And Daryl struggled with the temptation, again, as the records show, and it's good to see that today that he has his life on a much better path. It was a time with a lot of excitement, but as we know, it's what follows the trades and the signings that makes the difference. And with Daryl and Eric again, it didn't fulfill the hopes that I had, or I'm sure that the Dodger fans had.
No, and it does take me to the next question I was going to ask you, because you did trade Pedro Martinez. Now, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a second baseman just like Delino DeShields, and this is who you acquired in the Pedro Martinez deal. I know that Delino DeShields only played a very short period of time with the Dodgers, 2 to 3 seasons, but when you make this trade for Pedro Martinez, this is a guy that was very small in stature. Of course, you had his brother Ramon Martinez, and I remember at the time, that was the guy, right? Dodger fans loved Ramon Martinez, but you add Delino DeShields to a lineup that features a Mike Piazza, Eric Caro, Jose Offerman, Brett Butler, Raul Mondesi. I mean, it was an exciting team. The trade historically didn't age well, but I'm curious as to the reasoning behind the Pedro Martinez for Delino DeShields deal at that particular time.
Well, the trade did not age well, to say the least, because Pedro, who was a tremendous, tremendous human being and individual and friend, went on, of course, to the Hall of Fame. one of the things, and again, this isn't the reason for the trade, but I can remember that that when the trade was made, I guess I should have known I was in a little trouble because all the writers thought it was a great trade. And so the applause was a little too great because of how it ultimately turned out. But I was trying to fill a hole that we had in second base, and actually had made an effort to sign Robbie Thompson of the Giants and made an all-out effort to try to sign Robbie. And ultimately, the Giants signed him and let Will Clark go. Pedro, if you look at Pedro's record, I don't know if he ever started a game for the Dodgers. That's not a point, but the year before we traded him, he had been very successful in relief. There were concerns about Pedro. He was small. There were concerns physically about his arm, and a lot of people have noted because it became a matter in the press that Dr. Job, a wonderful man, dear friend, had expressed some concerns and of Pedro's, the longevity for Pedro, but that was not the reason that I made that that I made the trade. And Frank, when the criticism really started to fall roll in, and this shows who Dr. Job was, he said, "Fred," he said, "you know, you take so much criticism. You never mentioned the fact that I raised questions about the longevity of Pedro." And I said, "Frank, let me tell you something. You're one of the great orthopedic surgeons of all time. I had, your evaluation had nothing to do with that trade. I made that trade because I thought that trade could help our team." And so that, Jordan, belongs totally with me. I listened, as I always did, to our baseball people and our scouts. But I'll tell you something about Pedro. And again, you won't find this in the statistics. You got a better chance of finding the scouting report. Pedro had the heart of a Giant, and the intelligence to go with it. So it was a it proved to be a terrible trade, and I thought, and I have always respected the Lino, and I know that he's now has a career as a manager. I think he's a wonderful guy, but it was just a bottom line, Jordan. You have to live with the trades you make, and I've never been one to do anything other than to take responsibility for the trades that I've made.
Fred, I know that we'd agreed to two segments, but I still have a few other questions I would like to get to. Do you have time to hang around with us for one more segment?
You bet. Whatever you need.
Excellent. Thank you. More coming up with Fred Clair, former Los Angeles Dodger general manager. When we return, we'll talk about one of the biggest trades in Dodger history, and it didn't sit well with the fan base. When the Dodgers moved on from Mike Piazza, sending him to the Florida Marlins, we'll talk about that and more when we return. Again, joined right now by former Dodger general manager Fred Clair, right here on Drive Time Sports.